And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Thursday. Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first, and of course, Ken Cummins, a legend across the way.
And as I say, a legend in my own mind.
There you go. Now we got some special guests in the studio.
Yeah, they're
today.
Really special to me because they're good friends. And one's a new friend, the other one's a longtime friend. And I'm speaking of, first of all, the Chief Building Inspector for Christian County is Brother Peter Wood. Hey, welcome to Missionary Radio.
Thank you. Good morning, Ken.
And you're also a deacon at Crofton Baptist.
Yes, sir.
And a member of the Cuba Mission Team, which is what we're going to talk about today. But glad to have you here.
Thank you.
It's your first time here on the radio with us.
Yes, sir.
Well, I hope that you, after this, one of the things that we were talking about after I introduce the next guest, and I'll get back to Brother Peter, this is the fellow that absolutely loves being on the radio.
Well, I know
In
he
fact,
does.
One of his heart's desire is, yeah. besides being a longtime pastor, is to become a radio personality. That's Brother Jim Gifford.
Good morning.
Well, see there, listen to that smooth voice. Good morning.
Oh, my goodness, Ken. Just keep going, brother.
Jim is a good friend, pastor of Crofton Baptist Church in Crofton, of course. And Brother Jim, we're excited to have you here today. I'll quit teasing you if I try. You know, it'll be hard on me, but I'll try.
It's always an honor to be with you and your listeners. It really is.
It's a great listening family.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is a long time listening family, and we appreciate them so much. Now, what we're here to do today is because we're going to talk about a recent event, and we went to Cuba. And we're going to set it up this way. And Brother Jim, share with us the dates, and then we're going to get into the specifics right after song here. Tell us what happened back in, early part of this month.
We left here on June the 4th, and we flew to Miami. From Miami, we then flew to Holguin. Took transport to Santiago. Then another transport on to our base, which was El Cobre, there in Cuba, to work with some mighty fine folks.
And El Cobre means?
Copper.
Yes. And I believe we saw a copper mine, didn't we, Brother Peter?
Yes, we did.
I thought, I never seen water like that in my life. Yeah, well, we're looking forward to having testimony from both of these fine brothers in the Lord. And I was along on the trip as well. I enjoyed it immensely. I was sharing with others. I've been on, I don't even know how many mission trips. I don't know. And I went on a one that lasted for many years, as a matter of fact. And so, I'd not been to Cuba. And I came away very impacted. And we'll talk all about that.
I am Brother Mark Fong, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky. And I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, use Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:4, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." A young woman confessed to an older man that she had a problem saying too much about people. He told her to go buy a bird and pluck out its feathers one by one as penance for her sin. When she returned and told the man that she followed his instructions, he said, "Now go back and pick up all the feathers." "I can't do that," she said. "The wind has blown them in all directions." "That's true," said the wise man. "Neither can you recall the words that you have spoken." Need an additional picture of how impossible it is to take something back once you've said it? Squeeze a tube of toothpaste and then try to put it back. It's nearly impossible. And so it is with our negative words once they leave our mouths. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Just helps me stay in touch with Christ and guide my day and keep me on the right path.
It really inspires me to just keep my eyes focused on the Lord.
100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Sharing the gospel worldwide with TWR, Missionary Radio.
Well, good morning, and thank you for listening to the front porch here on this fine Thursday, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned, we have special guests this morning, Brother Peter Wood, who's Chief Building Inspector of Bridgeport Christian County, and is also a deacon at Crofton Baptist Church, who was recently on a mission trip to El Cobre Cuba, and also Brother Jim Gifford, pastor of the church. And we had a delightful time going to Cuba. Jim, I want you to set it, Brother Jim, I want you to set it up this way. This is not your first time that you had gone to Cuba, but why Cuba? Why did you decide to go to Cuba?
Part of it, Ken, is because where we are serving is an unreached people. There's literally only one evangelical church in the entire town. There are about 8,000 people, and the people are ready to hear the gospel. We have a lot of places where we've been in past, you and I,
sure,
where we have served, and they have group after group after group after group coming and serving in multiple churches. This is a church where our local assembly has agreed not only to support that church, but also we're now agreeing to go and to assist that church.
All right,
as
and,
well.
And that church is Valley of
Blessing,
Valley de Bendición, the Valley of Blessing Baptist Church. Wow, and it certainly is a blessing. And Brother Peter, is this your first time to go on such a, on that kind of trip, or had you done these kind of trips before?
No, that was my first mission type trip.
Your first ever, and Brother Jim, your loving pastor, takes you off to the hottest place on earth, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, what did you think as you were getting ready to go to Cuba, Brother Peter? What was going through your heart in anticipation of the trip?
I was excited about it. I really was. Like I said, never been on one before, had opportunities to go on other ones, but just never felt it. And then when Brother Jim said something about going to Cuba, I think I was the first one. I'm ready to go.
Wow.
Let's go.
Right. Now, did that move you out of your comfort zone a bit?
A little bit, yeah. I had traveled before, but
sure.
That, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Once you got into Cuba, what was your first reaction to what you saw?
It was beautiful.
Mm.
Hot and beautiful.
That is the best description I've heard, hot and beautiful. It definitely was that. Yeah. Right. Well, once you got in and we got all the traveling that Brother Jim just described and the process of getting there, and you get going with the mission, what did you sense first when you got around to the people? What hit you?
I would say first thing is, of course, they were extremely friendly to us, but they were excited about Jesus.
Mm.
They were excited about being a Christian, about worshiping.
Yeah. And when you saw that, it just, I'm sure, here, I'm going to, if you don't know Peter is not a short man. And compared to the Cubans, well, you're certainly towering above most of them, if not all of them that I saw. But that didn't have a thing to do with it, your stature or even being an American. They received you with love, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And so what did you do, actually, while you're on the trip?
Let's see. The first day we were there, the morning, we mostly sat and talked about a construction project they were wanting to do. Went with Brother Jim that night to a small group meeting. The next day I was at the church. Worked around there.
Yeah, did you meet any certain people that stood out to you, that just absolutely became your friend, or you're drawn to them immediately? Any certain person?
Two of them. Ayler, that was our driver, and then a young man that had married the preacher's daughter down there, Junior.
Yeah, yes, he really was. He's a nice young man.
He was. He was very nice.
And I understand you're still communicating with
him. Yes,
sir. That's great. Now, you were planning this construction project. Why is there a need for a construction project there at the church?
They've got three small rooms they use for Sunday school. And I believe Brother Jim said that Sunday morning we were there, they had 680-something people there. So they need some more Sunday school rooms, and that's what they're wanting to build, is a small addition with four rooms in it.
Right. Wow. And so that's right down your alley, eh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so you're working now, planning on a trip to go back.
Yes, sir.
And what's your plan of target date on that?
I believe we've kind of settled on March 22nd that week.
Okay. Well, Brother Jim, this first time you go to Brother Peter, you take him along with you, and you still and he's still going to your church.
Yes, you know, it's exciting to watch people grow in their faith and then grow in their missional attitudes. Mm. Yeah, that's exciting as a pastor.
Okay.
And as a brother, too.
Absolutely. Now, let's describe the work there. Brother Peter has talked about the number of people that were there on Sunday. But let's circle back just a bit. You mentioned that that is the only evangelical church in a little town about 8,000 or so. Right. Why is this church, besides it being the only one, I don't think that's the reason it's prospering. Why do you see there's such a hunger for and growth there?
Well, they have a large basilica there for the worship of Mary as an idol. And so there is an emptiness in their heart from religion, and we found that the gospel is not just entertaining to them, but it is received as hope. They live desperately. It's an impoverished nation, and they need hope, and they found hope in Christ.
Mm.
They've learned how to get along. They're lovely people. They're terrific people.
Yes, for sure.
And it's safe to be there. It's enjoyable to be there. They're delightful. The scenery is beautiful. But we found completely that they're open to the gospel and they're committed to the gospel. When they receive Christ, it's not they come, they stay with Christ, and they're discipled and they grow. Yes.
Well, let's describe some of the activities and who the team members. Of course, we have one team member with us. Well, actually,
right.
Three, including myself, but from Crofton.
And yes.
Describe the team.
We took with us four nurses. Three are retired. One is active in certification. And we were able to do trainings regarding diabetes and health concerns for seniors. They also had specialty in prenatal care, and so they were able to work in a birthing facility, which opened up a door for the church to have an additional ministry there in El Cobre. Then we had three preachers, you included, and we were able to go out. This church has five missions that they have begun, and we were able to go out and do evangelism in these unreached sectors of their city that are completely unreached. And so we were able to go assist that. We had a deacon who was with us who did deacon training and then also was with the nurses to help facilitate any needs that were there. So it was a great trip as far as accomplishing exactly what we intended to do.
Well, we're going to get into specifics of that and even share some stories. But I want to mention, too, the other pastor or minister that Brother Jim's referring to is Brother John Franklin. And if I get the title right, Associational Missional Strategist for the Christian County Baptist Association. Brother John, in fact, he's going to be here tomorrow.
Yes.
And talking to Andrew on an interview. But nevertheless, it's a great team. But also, we need to add your brother. One of your brothers,
yes.
Brother Jerry Gifford, Dr. Jerry Gifford,
yes.
From Bowling Green. That's my Bowling Green stomping grounds there with you. Tell about his team, and then we'll get into the specifics of our trip.
His team went to do a couple of things. They stayed in Santiago, and there they had five on their team. They continue to work with the church that they've been supporting for 5 years. They not only took some additional funds to help complete a construction project, but then did a regional leadership conference for pastors and deacons and teachers. I think they had about 180 people attend on Saturday there as well, serving with pastors Guzman and others there in Santiago in a housing development area where I understand they have 30,000 people within a very small reach of those churches.
Well, before we go to a pen from the heart, one thing I want to tell you about being live on the radio, Brother Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first, which is my name for him. He's just really Brian Marshall Sidebottom. Mm-hmm. But since there's only one of him, I added the first.
So yeah.
And so, Brother Brian, when his hands gets near those buttons right there, mm-hmm. and I can see them, that means, Ken, it's time to bring it down.
Yeah, take a break.
Take a break. But before we do, we'll set it up this way. Brother Peter, you I mentioned comfort zone later. When I asked you to come on the radio, you said, that's not what I do.
No.
But you run media at the church.
I do, but I just have to sit there and push a button or make sure the sound's right.
Yeah, I remember.
I don't have to speak.
Well, you're doing a great job. And again, for you that are listening from Hopkinsville area, Brother Peter Wood is, that's how I know him, as a brother in Christ and a fine brother in Christ. But he is also his occupation's chief building inspector. I'm going to ask you this before we go to break. It has nothing to do with Cuba, but I'm sure doing that job, and how many years have you done it?
Since 2007.
Okay, that's 18 years. And I'm sure you make everybody happy every day.
Of course.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to leave it right there, aren't
you? I'll leave it right there.
So I appreciate that. I knew it's what he was going to say. But pray for Peter. Because that is not an easy thing to go out and do things like. I can't imagine. I can imagine working with the public, but I know how that goes.
Isn't it good that we have godly Christian
that's what
men
I was going to say.
Serving in the community?
Amen. Yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
I would say this. If I see Brother Peter coming to my door, I'm going to say, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll be back to talk more specific about our mission trip to Cuba. We're going to tell some stories, going to tell some relational things, and just talk about this pastor, Brother Oliver, an amazing man of God. We're going to share with you about what he's doing and how the Lord is using this man right here on Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, we love and appreciate your efforts. Keep the name of Jesus lifted high. From Elkton, my radio is on 89.3 FM, both day and night. I'm thankful for Missionary Radio, and each and every one of you is in my prayers. From Hopkinsville, may God continue to bless Missionary Radio and carry the message of Jesus until He returns. And from Princeton, thank God for all your programs. May He bless you all.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
Very good front porch.
Well, I think so. Thank you, Brother Brian. Yeah, we have in the studio as our special guest today, Brother Peter Wood, who's the deacon and all at Carlton Baptist Church, member of the Cuban Mission Team, and he's chief building inspector for Christian County. So if you see him out today, tell him what I tried to get him to say good morning at Hopkinsville. He wouldn't do it, but he practiced it in my office. But, you know, good morning Vietnam, I thought he would
be.
He and I did a lot of trivia and songs. Everybody, I think, that got tired of it. Jim said enough of the music already. But this morning, we also have Brother Jim Gifford, who is pastor of Crofton Baptist Church. And Brother Jim is a longtime friend, and I do appreciate him dearly. Don't tell him I said that. I wouldn't want anybody to know it too much.
No, we won't say that on the radio.
No, we wouldn't say it on radio.
I couldn't hear it.
You didn't hear it. Brother Peter, you mentioned it earlier. If you just joined us, the first mission trip, but you did various things. And I'm sure, having been just there just a few days, and I have tons of stories I've been telling, and there probably is an impacting story that hits you. What one would you come away with?
Well, it was Thursday night. We broke up in different groups, went to different areas there in El Cobre, and I was with Brother Jim, and we had to walk up this. They drove us so far, then we had to walk up this hill. Fat boy don't do good on hills and hot. So we go up this little hill, and underneath the tree, there's probably 40-plus people. And when we got there, and they started singing, it was just amazing how excited they were to be there and how excited they were to worship God. The way they sang, it would almost make your ears ring. And like I said, just those people right there, a lady had a guitar, and that was it. And they were, like I said, it was joyful for them, that just the emotion that was coming out of them. It's something you don't usually see, especially around here. I mean, they were just, like I said, just excited about it. And when Brother Jim got to speaking, I was looking around and nobody was fidgeting. Nobody was playing on their phones. They were laser focused on what he was saying. It was just really cool to see that.
One thing for sure, they do not make a lot of money. And it's a hard time in Cuba right now. The economy is tough. And the cutting off of electricity has been going on for a long time. And we got to experience that with them, but yet they have this exuberance and joy in worship. Were the lights on? Because where I went one night, there was nothing.
No,
I couldn't even see with a light on the phone. I had to preach without notes, in Spanish.
They had some two battery operated little square lights. They hung up on a piece of barbed wire, and that was the only light we had.
Was the air conditioner working?
Not up there.
I know that's what I mean.
Not a bit.
Yeah. So the joy. Why do you think that joy is so obvious in those folks?
I don't know. I don't think they've gotten used to it. Maybe that's it. It was new. It's exciting.
One of the things I come away with in having you don't compare apples and oranges, but I've worked with the Latin culture for a lot of years, but never had gone to Cuba. Now, I want to say to our listening family, we have a direct partnership with Cuba through Bonaire. Bonaire is an island, one of the Antilles, ABC, Aruba, Bonaire, Curaçao, just off to the north of Venezuela. And broadcasting from Bonaire is a 450,000 watt. Now, get your mind around that. That's like 9 WSMs. Sure. And here it broadcasting into Cuba. And I'll share those stories later on when we get to Cuba Needs Jesus next month. But we have a relationship with Cuba already. So I'd been praying about wanting to go to Cuba. And then Brother Jim, he didn't know that. And he asked me to go. And so I said, I'll pray about it while I'm packing my bags. You know, I was just that ready to go. But, Brother Peter, back to what I was talking about, I really do believe that the reason that they found that what we as Americans, and I don't want to paint a broad stroke here because it's not true for everyone, but we depend so much on what we have, our resources, our gadgets. And the gadgets are gone, the props are gone. You're a media guy at church, and they had a battery operated light,
right,
and a guitar, and their voices. And so I think would you let you carry on with this? Do you think it might be because that they realize they truly have a relationship with Jesus?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Okay. And so why is that? Why are they more excited then? They have nothing, but yet they're still excited. You don't know. have you been contemplating that one for a while? Huh?
I've been contemplating. I don't have a good answer for you.
Yeah. Well, Jim, maybe you can add to that. What do you think?
I think that their worship is authentic. They truly love Jesus, and Jesus is their hope. Jesus is their life. Jesus is their peace. And Once that's true on the inside, your outside's just got to show it.
I have seen, and I think it's true with what I just the short observation on our trip, having worked in an impoverished country for many years, that it's nothing wrong with at all with riches, but if they become our God, they're just as much an idol as anything else. And as Brother Peter pointed out, their Christianity is new to them, but then they have a relationship, and it expresses through their culture. But also, you think about it. I'm free. I'm right. Free. What do you think of that?
Well, Paul said clearly, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. And they have discovered Christ. And when they make a decision, it's not just authentic, it's life-changing. And they have made Christ Lord of their lives. They make Christ Lord in a culture, quite frankly, that is alien to Christ. And having made that decision, they've made a determination to follow after him, and it just shows. You can't hide it, and you certainly can't make it pretentious, can you?
Absolutely no. No, it's not at all in an acting category. It would thank God for that exuberance. Brother Peter is going to have to go to work. He's working for a living today. But I want to ask you this before we go to Johnny Erickson Tata and Sharing Hope. You gave a talk on deacon ministry. Is that the first time you'd done something like that?
Yes, sir.
And you did it in Cuba?
Yes, sir.
How'd that go?
I think it went well. They seemed to listen. They pretty much go by the same, their deacons go by the same guidelines in the Bible and Acts and Timothy that we go by.
Mm-hmm. What kind of feedback did you get from them afterwards? Did they ask you any questions, or did they say, that's not right, or what did they do?
No, they all agreed. I heard several amens while I was talking, and like I said, not being able to speak Spanish, didn't have many conversations with them afterwards, but they seemed to agree with what I was saying. And
good. Is that something now that you're going to take on the road and do here?
Absolutely.
No. No, I don't think so.
have we nominated him right here, Jim?
We just did. And, Ken, it doesn't get any tougher than what he had to deal with. We put him in a box, a hot box. They shut the shutters, and the room was full. It was hot. And big boy was up there, just kept on going.
The heat was on both ways, wasn't
it? Yes, it was.
Having to do that for the first time, and then the heat literally.
Yes, sir.
What have you said to your family after coming back from this trip?
I've told them how much I enjoyed it. I told them about that night up there with Brother Jim under that tree. There was another night with John Franklin. We went to a house, small room, probably about 40-plus people inside, and people were standing outside. You could see through the louvers where the window's supposed to be. People outside. And I was telling them you're reading the Bible where Jesus would go into a house and speak and people crowded around to hear. That was a visual of that right there. I mean, with him preaching and everybody, like I said, people standing outside. The little room was just packed and just stories like that and how excited I am to go back.
Does it change your heart toward when you hear about missions at church, the reports or prayers, a week of prayer or whatever comes up in our life as Southern Baptists? Does it have a different perspective for you now, having
now it does, yes. Very much.
Causes one to take pause, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, I am so appreciative of Brother Peter Wood being with us. He's Chief Building Inspector for Christian County, Deacon at Crofton Baptist. Brother Jim, I think we've pulled Brother Peter out of two comfort zones lately.
We have.
Yeah.
And watch him grow.
Are you going to think he's going to get taller?
I think he will.
No, seriously, grow in Christ, yes.
Amen.
And it's a super good team. We'll have more stories to tell you. But right now, please pray for the people of Cuba, and also pray that the churches We're going to talk about Pastor Oliver and that church and his leadership abilities and just exactly what that church is doing and even how you can pray. But right now,
Johnny Erickson Tata sharing hope.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata with an aching heart. One of the reasons my heart aches right now is, well, it's because of the people this summer that were reaching for Christ. They are the disabled of the world, and many of them, if not most, are children. Boys and girls who must struggle with hard disabilities in some of the most impoverished parts of the world. And so my heart is aching. Because even though God has called me, has called all of us at Johnny and Friends, to reach them with the gospel love and practical help, we simply cannot reach them all. And if you know me, and I think you do, I pour my whole heart into the ministry that God has called me to. I do absolutely everything I can to make life better for these disabled children, to give them and their families the saving message of Jesus Christ and hands-on help. I will tell you the story of one little girl, though, that I've been praying for as of late. She is a 10-year-old child named Tamala. She has cerebral palsy, which has left her paralyzed, and she cannot talk. But Tamala has the most amazing smile. This little disabled girl lives in a hut with her family, but with no electricity. Her father is a migrant laborer, and so he is often gone for long hours in the field. Tamala's mother also brings home income by doing small jobs in the village. It's a sad fact of life, but it means that both mother and father must leave Tamala behind. And so this child, who cannot move or speak, spends virtually all her days in a room with no light and no ventilation. The family has no mattresses to sleep on, and so Tamala is left lying on the floor on a torn straw mat. And this is why my heart so easily breaks. I mean, here I am. I've got a wheelchair. Oh, sure, I'm paralyzed and can't walk or use my hands, but I can talk. Our house has electricity. Ken and I have a comfortable mattress. Compared to Tamala, I've got so much, which is exactly why I am so driven and blessed to serve at Johnny and Friends. I think about what the Apostle Paul told us to do in Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he said, "Remember the poor." That's the very thing I'm eager to do. And if he's asking us to remember the poor, surely he's thinking about the poorest of the poor. And that's the poor who struggle with disabilities, especially children. Well, you will be relieved to know that our Johnny and Friends staff takes to heart Paul's words in Galatians chapter 2. And right now, we are working to get Tamala a pediatric wheelchair and to get her to a hospital some distance away. And so there is Christ-centered, Bible-based hope for this child and her parents. But Tamala is one of so very many thousands of thousands. And so if this story has touched your heart, I'm asking you to please help me to give more Christ-centered, Bible-based hope and child-sized wheelchairs to more boys and girls with disabilities around the world. You will do my heart good by visiting johnnyradio.org today to learn more about our ministry and our heart to reach the world's disabled for Christ through giving the gospel and wheelchairs. To be frank, when I share a need like this, you got to know it involves finances. And so I would be so grateful if you would participate with us, support us in this incredible need, because children like Tamala need Jesus Christ. They need a child-sized wheelchair, and their parents need the gospel too. So get all the details on how you can help me at johnnyradio.org. And thank you. God bless you for sharing hope.
Recently, I was talking to a longtime friend about Christian radio in general. He said something that impacted me specifically. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of Missionary Radio. He said, "I'm glad you're listener-funded. I enjoy listening without a long time of interruptions," he said. Missionary Radio is 100% listener-funded. The truth is, it's time to share with you that summer slowdown has hit us early this year. We had a great fundraiser in the spring, but the actual funds are not coming in adequately to meet the expenses. We are praying and sharing with you the need is great. We believe we can remain listener-funded with your generous help. We know you are our partner in this ministry and you want to know. Send your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville 42241,
or go online to missionary.radio, click on donate, and use your credit or debit card through Cornerstone Payment System. I'm not asking you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. Thank you for your partnership in ministry with Missionary Radio.
Yes, and I want to thank Brother Peter Wood, who's Chief Building Inspector for Christian County and one of the deacons at Crofton Baptist Church. It was on the mission trip to El Cobre, I'll just say Cuba, recently. And anyway, for thank him for sharing and for being willing to come. And as he said, it's very early in the morning for him.
Well, no, he's happy to be with you, Ken.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I could see the delight was in his eyes. Brother Jim Giffords, pastor of Crofton Baptist Church. I think the team couldn't get over how much you and I go at each other.
That's right.
If we didn't start there, said something's wrong. Brother Jim, I want to get this, use this time that we have to talk about the impact of leadership. Now, in Cuba, for what we saw tremendous church growth. But somebody has to be at the front of that. Why, describe this pastor, and I think it's the first time you'd actually work with him.
That's correct. He's been at the church 2 years, Pastor Oliver. I worked with the former pastor, Pastor Alex. Pastor Oliver just has a great gift of administration. He sees his city as an unreached territory where Pastor Alex got facilities and got things ready for the physical plant, but Pastor Oliver now has such a heart for the people, and so he's developed these sectors in his city that are unreached and has established people within his church that he calls missionaries, and they're responsible for these unreached areas. And they go in and they establish home small group cells there to introduce the gospel to them. While we were there, that's exactly where we went. We went into some of these homes, and there it was just a presentation of the gospel. It might be 20 people. I was in some homes where there was only two people, depending on the sector we were serving, and people were responding to the gospel. It was just evangelism right there, home to home. And then what they did after those morning evangelism meetings, we then went back that evening. As Peter talked about that service under the almond tree, it was in that sector where we invited the entire region to come out for public worship. And it was delightful. The lady was playing her guitar, and you'd look down, and one of the strings had been broken, and she tied a knot in it. And, you know, that's just, it didn't matter.
No, not at all.
It didn't matter. They serve and they love Jesus, and people responded. I'm thankful to report that while we were there, 70-plus people responded to the gospel and surrendered their lives to Christ as Savior
and Lord.
And
that's just with, let me interject, that's just with the team, our team.
That's with our team, yes. Pastor Ken preached Sunday morning in Spanish, and we had three services that morning. They had a service that morning for just the children, not because they want to segregate the groups, but they didn't have any room.
That's it.
They didn't have any room. And so the children had the first service. Then the adults and senior adults had service in the middle, and then the middle school and the high school students had service following that. The place was always full, and the pastor has a heart to reach his community, but not just to reach him spiritually, but also to help with some of the physical needs.
Yeah, speaking of that, some of the dear ladies, the nurses that were on the team, they gave a prenatal talk one morning, and then they went out to a birthing center. Describe that.
The government has I would assume the third trimester, ladies go to this facility where they remain until they give birth to their child. There, it is a government facility, and the church has long desired to be able to be a part of that just to help facilitate, to meet some needs, whether they're physical or spiritual. And so we had, your family and others donated diapers, and we were able to take those diapers as a gift to those ladies. That helped open that door. then our nurses going inside and helping to teach and instruct, maybe give additional direction. I wasn't in the meeting. I just heard, you know, reports from the meeting.
Same here.
And so they gave instruction. But the outcome is that the people, now they're in that facility, are welcoming the church to come back. And so our going didn't just present the gospel, but our going opened doors that the church had not previously been able to open. Just because they accepted us as Americans, there are many times in those nations that we go to that God will use just our citizenship to be a blessing. And I think about Paul, you know, how often he would say, you know, I'm a Roman citizen.
Exactly.
And he used that as an instrument for evangelism.
A tool in his chest.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And we were able to use that for ourselves there in this community that is unusual in that they have an evangelical work in an area that also has satanic work as well.
Describe that.
They have that idol for the runaway slave that as the African migration happened long before, you know, we were born, bring him in to work the mines there.
The copper mine.
The copper mines. Mm-hmm. So with that, and they brought with them voodoo. They brought with them the satanic witchcraft and such. And so that's still prevalent there today, much like how Sturgis will swell during Motorcycle Week. They have weeks there in El Cobre where satanic activity will swell and the town will be just saturated with those who come to meet and to have satanic worship at that runaway slave idol on top of one of the hills there in El Cobre.
I just want to say that we ask you to pray for Pastor Oliver and for the missionaries that are involved there in Cuba, and pray for the people themselves. They're resilient, but yet they are suffering from a lack of medicine, and in some respects,
exactly.
They can't get it, and they can't get the medical attention that they need. Sometimes there's some things that we haven't even touched on in human needs like that, but please, please, please pray for them. I haven't said a whole lot, but I wanted you to hear from Brother Peter and Brother Jim, and you're going to be giving a report at your church, too.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. On the 29th.
On the 29th. And just while you're here, Jim, we like to promote to churches that in our listening family. Share the service times.
Our time starts at 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for morning worship, 6 p.m. for Sunday night worship, 6:30 Wednesday night. And we've starting a new ministry, Upward Basketball. We will actually have Upward Basketball September, October in North Christian County. And we're excited about that work initiating and getting started. Bible school starts Sunday.
Oh,
this Sunday.
Are the ages?
Ages are 1 day to 110 years old. And we have, we start Sunday kickoff 4 to 6. And then we have 5 p.m. to 8:30. 5 p.m. is a supper, and then 6 o'clock to 8:30 is Bible school, Monday through Friday.
Any number to call to get information?
270-524-4201. Yeah.
All right. Well, a lot more to share about Cuba. You'll be hearing more about Cuba Needs Jesus in July with Transworld Radio. But just get this, over 90 new believers as a whole came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will just say before we go to the news, Brother Jim mentioned I preached Sunday morning. There was an elderly gentleman that I had an opportunity to, that he had already been cultivated and worked on by one of the missionaries, more than one, and I just happened to be on that team that day and went into his home, began to share, and create conversation with him, and he immediately received the Lord Jesus Christ.
Weren't you amazed how many adults responded to the gospel?
Amazing.
Adults.
Adults. I didn't ask the man's age, but he was knocking 80. And he came forward Sunday morning at the invitation time.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amazing.
It was awesome to watch God at work using our feeble talents there in that beautiful country of Cuba.
if you'd like to have more about Cuba, and I'm sure that some of these fine members of the team would be glad to share with you.
Exactly.
All right. Been a pleasure to have Brother Peter Wood, Chief Building Inspector for Christian County, Deacon at Crofton and Crofton Baptist, and also a member of the team, the Cuba mission team to El Cobre, Cuba, and of course Brother Jim Gifford, who I think we're eventually going to convince him that he does well on the radio. Well, what about it, Brian?
I think so too. I believe he does a wonderful job.
Y'all are gifted in these areas.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch.